This is All Things Considered on NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. If regular people like you and me ever get to travel to space, we'll have to contend with something astronauts already worry about, space weather. That weather comes in the form of something called solar wind. That's generated by charged particles thrown off by the sun. It can affect satellites, our atmosphere here on Earth, and any space travelers. Granite geek David Brooks has been looking into a machine decades in the making at the University of New Hampshire that can detect this kind of space weather and potentially give us a heads up if dangerous solar wind is headed our way. David is a reporter for the Concord Monitor and a regular guest here on All Things Considered. Welcome back, David.
I'm always glad to be here.
So, David, this device is called the Energetic Heavy Ion Sensor, and it's designed to detect space weather. How does it do that?
As it was explained to me by Cliff Lopate, who is sort of the principal investigator, the PI in Science Talk, basically it's got semiconductors that when a heavy ion or an atom, an ionized atom, runs into them, it knocks electrons up in a way that generates a pulse, and that pulse says, hey, I've been hit by something. And it is flying as part of a series of instruments that are on a weather satellite called GOES-R, G-O-E-S-R, which is one of a series of weather satellites that's been going up for a long time. They're geostationary. They stay over the same part of the Earth at all times. And we're most familiar with them because they help for long-range weather forecasts heard down on Earth. Earth weather, not space weather. And this one was just launched a couple weeks ago.
And who spent so many years developing it?
Lots of years. That was actually the big surprise to me. So there are a number of UNH researchers over the years who've been involved in satellite building instruments, designing instruments that go up on satellites to do various things, including measure space weather. And this one dates back, if you go all the way back to the very first efforts, to the turn of the millennium. And the reason that it's taken so very long is that this is an operational satellite as compared to a scientific or research satellite. So most of the time when I talk to scientists who are sending up material, they develop something to try to answer some sort of question, you know, what kind of space weather is up there or something. So they devise this instrument and it goes up on a research satellite that stays up for a few years. This is an operational satellite that's going to be answering questions about our weather for at least a decade and as much as 15 years. And therefore, the standards of how it has to operate and its reliability are much, much higher. And that is the main reason why it has literally taken close to two decades from the first time people started saying, hey, we should send up a satellite that measures heavy ions, to when they actually launched it.
And the crazy thing about this is that these poor scientists have to watch as something they've spent almost two decades working on get positioned on top of many thousands of pounds of explosives and hope for the best.
Hope for the best. I just can't imagine what it's like. I'd be huddled in a fetal ball if I was them during the launch.
Certainly. You have to be a strong person to be a scientist. So we've been studying space weather as a society for some time now. So what's different about this?
What's different is that most or almost all of the studying so far has been of relatively light energy particles, basically protons and electrons that are knocked free and are flying around. This device is designed to detect heavy ions, so actual atoms of material all the way up to nickel on the periodic table, which have hundreds of times as much energy. So they are of great concern. That's one thing that has happened over the years. Well, as we've had more satellites up there, we've realized that the protons and electrons, which are vastly more numerous, 99% perhaps, are a problem, but these very rare but very powerful heavy ions are also a serious problem that we don't know much about. So this device was devised specifically to start detecting them so we can learn more about, you know, when they come, why they come, what they're composed of. As a side effect, it can help predict solar storms that can be of issues because it can spot these ions, which sometimes go in different patterns and at different times than the lighter ions, and therefore can help say, hey, there's a big problem coming. The space shuttle should put up its shields, or a satellite should turn away from the space storm, that kind of thing.
Is there anything that this space weather detector could detect that would prompt officials to ask us to change our behavior here on Earth?
That's a good question. Not that I know of, but certainly there are concerns about, you know, the possibility of extremely large solar storms affecting things like our GPS satellites.
Because I've seen in movies, right,
yeah,
like where there's a solar pulse that, oh my God, and all the electronic devices on Earth just shut right off.
Well,
of course, that's sci-fi, but...
Well, and it from what I've read, that's not entirely, you know, that's not beyond the realm of the possibility. How heavy ions play in that as compared to the rest of the solar wind, I'm, to be honest, I'm not sure of. But it's certainly part of, that's one of the reasons why you want to understand this stuff, just in case, oh my gosh, there's this threat we didn't know about that we have to prepare for. Because it would be really bad if all of a sudden all of our GPS satellites were blown out of the air electronically.
Okay, and just to be clear, we don't have any word that that's happening.
No. Calm down, people. Calm down.
Don't want to spark any alarm. But David, what is next for this energetic heavy ion sensor? It's going to float 26,000 miles up there and just monitor things?
Yeah, it could be in stasis for as long as 5 years, depending on how many other satellites are, when they need to turn it on and what they need to use. And as I say, it's supposed to operate for at least 10 years once it gets turned on. And basically what's next is to gather the data. Now the data will be used by a number of people, including UNH researchers themselves, to understand the solar wind and what we should do and how to prepare and what's up there.
All right. Well, David, thank you very much.
You bet.
That's David Brooks. He's a reporter for the Concord Monitor and the writer whose geekiness could be spotted from space with the naked eye at graniteGeek.org.